For as long as people have called this place home, they've been welcomed with clean air, clean water, and an abundance of nature. As time went on, people saw the need to balance how we build cities with how we protect farms and forests. That's why across Greater Portland, in 24 cities and 3 counties, there's one metro government that brings us all together to maintain that vital balance, to provide services across cities and counties, to create a better future together. Hello, we're Metro. We plan for housing, jobs, and safe transportation. We protect land, air, and water by managing garbage and recycling. We support arts and culture by overseeing local venues to keep the economy growing. And we connect people to nature across 17,000 acres of parks and trails and at the Oregon Zoo. Metro is all of us working together, connecting how we live today with how we plan for the future. Hello, we're Metro, and so are you.
Good morning, everyone. We have a quorum, and I'm calling the Metro Council business meeting for February 2nd, 2023 to order. I'm running the meeting virtually while my colleagues are both virtual and in person at the Metro Regional Headquarters for the first time. So I just ask my colleagues and the public for patience as we run through the meeting in this manner for the first time. I am also open, colleagues, to input on how to make this work smoothly as we move to more and more new hybrid situations in the future. However, I must say once again how impressed I am with the staff that make the meetings run so smoothly in hybrid mode. And Connor, you and your team are amazing. Thank you. Connor, will you please call the roll for attendance?
Yes, thank you, President Peterson. Okay, Councillor Lewis.
Present.
Councillor Simpson.
Present.
Councillor Rosenthal.
Present.
Councillor Wong.
Present.
Councillor Gonzalez.
Present, good morning.
Good morning. Councillor Nolan.
Good morning.
Present. Morning. And President Peterson.
Present, thank you. Before we begin our agenda items, can we please play the safety video for our in-person attendees?
Hi, I'm Justin Dunlap, and I'm the department head stagehand electrician at the Arlene Schnitzer Concert Hall. Safety's a big part of my job, from electrical, making sure that I stay up to date on the NFPA codes and regulations, to rigging, where we make sure that everything is safely suspended overhead, to egress, ensuring that our audiences, performers, and technicians have the safest possible route in case of emergency. I'm out here at the Arlene Schnitzer Concert Hall, and you're in the Metro Regional Center. Please note that we're on the third floor of the building. In the event of a fire or fire alarm, please exit through the door in the northeast corner of the room. Go down the steps to the second floor and exit through the main entrance by the reception desk. We will meet in the courtyard outside that entrance. In the event of a medical or fire emergency, please call 911 and notify the security agent at the front desk. The nearest defibrillator is mounted on the steps leading from the reception desk down to Grand Avenue.
Thank you. We will now move on to public communication and non-agenda items as part of our next part of the agenda. Connor, will you please describe to the audience our procedures for the public audience or for the public communication portion of the meeting?
Yes, thank you, President Peterson. So if anyone wishes to testify on non-agenda items, now is the time to do so. Public testimony will be limited to 3 minutes, and I'll manage the timer to go off at the 3 minute mark. If you've not already signed up to speak, you can do so now by either if you're joining us virtually by hitting the raise hand button, which depending on your version of Zoom is either at the bottom of your screen or within the reactions tab. If you're joining us in person today, you can sign up by filling out one of the blue cards in the back of the room and bringing it up to me. For those joining us on Zoom today, I will be promoting you to a full panelist to testify. So I'll call your name. You'll see a window pop up asking you to accept that promotion. Once you accept it, you'll rejoin as a panelist where you'll be able to turn on your camera and unmute yourself. And so as a reminder to everybody testifying today, you do not need to give your physical address. However, please do identify yourself for the record before testifying. So with that, I'll just give folks on Zoom the chance to put their hand up if they would like to testify on non-agenda items. All right. And President Peterson, no hands have gone up, and we've not had anybody sign up in advance to speak today.
Great. Thank you. With that, we will close the public communication portion of the meeting on non-agenda items and move on to our ordinance, second reading and vote. Ordinance number 23-1488 for the purpose of amending the urban growth boundary to include land adjacent to the city of Tigard in exchange for removing a substantially equivalent amount of land in Clackamas County. Councilors, as you recall, we held our first reading and public hearing for this ordinance on January 19th. As we discussed at that meeting, this ordinance would allow the city of Tigard to move forward with a plan to add much needed housing to the metro region and accelerate our housing development into the pipeline. This would be done by adding the River Terrace 2.0 area to the urban growth boundary while removing a comparable amount of land that has not demonstrated readiness for development. At the public hearing, we heard testimony from a number of people who are both in favor of and opposed to the proposed UGB exchange. Metro staff has followed up by providing a supplemental staff report addressing the issues that were raised at that public hearing and provided some recommendations regarding how to proceed. As a result, after we hear from staff and ask questions of staff, I will take a motion on the ordinance. And after that, I know that there is a motion also from Councilor Rosenthal for an amendment. There would need to be a second for that to be considered, and then we will then vote on the amendment and then a motion on the full ordinance with or without the amendment. Does that make sense to everybody?
Yes.
I just want to make sure before we get in the middle of it. All right. Great. Staff are here today to describe the recommendations and answer any additional questions. So Andy Shaw, our Metro Interim Director of Planning, Research and Development, is here to present the supplemental staff report. Andy.
Fantastic. Good morning. Thank you, Andy Shaw, Interim Director of Planning, Development and Research. I think Council President Peterson gave most of my presentation. We were just here before you a couple weeks ago, but you had your public hearing. We're here seeking your consideration and approval of this ordinance. Contained in the staff report are a number of thoughts and responses to issues that were raised by members of the public at that hearing 2 weeks ago. Our recommendation is that you proceed with the maps that were proposed in the previous ordinance due to complications that would come about in altering parcels around and raising new issues and most likely delaying the process significantly. We have proposed a new condition that speaks to the stormwater issue and the remaining issues you heard around the challenges of growth, traffic, et cetera. Those are all really issues that are dealt with in a comprehensive planning process that follows the expansion of the urban growth boundary. And of course, there's a condition in the list of conditions that directs Tigard to conduct and complete that comprehensive planning process. So with that, Ted Reed, Roger Alfred, and I are all here to answer any questions that you may have. We'd be happy to take any questions.
Councilors, any questions for staff at this time? Councilor Rosenthal?
Yeah, just
please use the virtual so I can keep track if there's more. Thanks.
I'll raise my hand here. Just a quick question. In Appendix B, there is a clause that says that the city may propose corridors for depiction on the concept maps. And I'm just wondering if you could explain the relationship of any corridors they might propose to the RTP.
So we did a quick phone a friend and contacted Kim Ellis in planning. And she did indicate that centers, corridors, industrial areas do get somewhat more special consideration in the regional transportation plan. A lot of that is around actual transit corridors where we're running transit through an area. So this is unlikely an area that would be a major transit corridor in the near future. But that areas that do have those designations do get a little bit elevated consideration in the RTP process.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Councilor Gonzalez.
Thanks, President Peterson. I just want to express my appreciation to staff for the hard work, the diligence, the outreach, the mail, the sessions, everything that that we worked on to get to this point, and you know, very supportive of the of using this tool to support the expansion in Tigard, and very supportive of what we will be making action on today, but just wanted to take that time to just express that on the record with the audience and with folks listening. And it's just very important so that we're able to support our region. Thanks.
Great. Thank you. Councilor Nolan.
Thank you, Madam President. Thanks for the presentation. Thanks for all the follow-up. My interest in this is in helping Metro collectively, the entire Metro district, to achieve our land use goals consistent with the statewide goals. One of those is assurances that property that is brought into the urban growth boundary is developed at urban levels and is ready to move forward expeditiously. I think Tigard has demonstrated that clearly. And you've done a fabulous job of identifying properties that are within the urban growth boundary that don't have a path in the next 10 to 20 years to do that level of development and be contributing to the regional results. We've talked in the work session and in briefings about enforceability of that. Some of it is good faith. Some of it is that partners work together and make commitments and then follow through. But I would just appreciate it if we could put on the record mechanisms that Metro will have through the staff, through the council, to assure that the development that we envision in River Terrace 2 actually happens.
Thank you, Councillor Nolan. I'm Roger Alfred of the Office of Metro Attorney. I think to begin, I would say that our functional plan, which is the plan that basically directs Metro's ability to attach requirements and require local governments within Metro to comply with our rules, includes very specific provisions authorizing the Metro Council to impose conditions of approval on urban growth boundary decisions. And it also, that same section says that the Metro Council, if Metro determines that a city is not complying with one of those conditions, we do have enforcement authority under Title 8 of the functional plan. And so there is a described legal mechanism for us to enforce conditions if we need to. But I would start by saying the primary tool that we have with respect to conditions on UGB expansions is that our staff will be working collaboratively with the planning department staff of the city of Tigard as they create and adopt their comprehensive plans and zoning codes for this new area. So they will be coming to us. We will be reviewing what they do and providing them feedback and telling them if we think they're off course in some way. And so that's really the primary mechanism. So we would prefer not to end up in some sort of legal dispute. We do have that authority.
Yes.
Well, and just as an example, I would just say earlier this week, I was in a meeting with Metro Planning Department staff and staff from the city of King City and Clean Water Services, because we were talking about how they are going about adopting their comprehensive plan and TSP for the area that we brought in 2018. So that meeting that I just had this week is an example of the kind of work that we'll do with the city of Tigard.
Thank you. I appreciate having that on the record. Thanks.
Thank you. Councillor Rosenthal, did you have a follow-up question?
Yeah, I did have a follow-up question and also a comment. First of all, I wanted to thank staff for their detailed presentations that they've made in the past and for the due diligence and the elaborate process that they went through to identify potential lands for this trade, and also the great deal of public outreach they did for this. I also want to note that I've had conversations with both Clean Water Services and Tualatin Fire and Rescue, as well as the Willamette Valley Water providers, and know that they have already planned for this expansion and the addition people. But I do note that this raises some long-term issues we have, and we're planning in this west side, which happens to be my district, that we're going to be adding over the course of the next maybe 10 years or so, 30,000 people or so, and it raises some very significant transportation issues that were not fully foreseen in the 2018 RTP. So I'm just wondering if anybody on staff would care to comment on the best way forward to try and address. There's 30,000 people is going to create transportation issues if anybody wants to address this. And let me know a little bit more informed as to how we can move forward on this. I'm sorry, that's a fairly large question.
It is a fairly large question. I think the main response I would bring is the fairly large process we're going through around the regional transportation plan update, that is at the planning level, the place that we really come together as a region, talk about the resources we have, the needs we have, and plan out future transportation improvements and modifications, given the resources that we have, both that we expect and that we, you know, strategically might hope to have. I know Margie Bradway is here in the audience, but I think it's probably a larger question that revolves around our transportation planning role, distinct from this decision today, if that makes sense.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Wong.
Oh, thank you, Madam President, and thank you to the staff for working so diligently to address all our concerns. Really appreciate that. I saw in our packet that there's a handout or flyer from Clean Water Services, and I was wondering if someone could explain how that's related to this particular proposal. And I see options like bioswales and planters and things like that, but it also says that funding for these will not be identified. And I'm wondering, traditionally, like in these kind of processes, how funding for this type of investment is made. Is that a local jurisdiction, or is that like SDCs? I'm just wondering how the mitigation for clean water is going to be implemented and paid.
I mean, I'm going to look to Ted in particular, but I think first it's going to vary across the region depending on how local governments are structured and funded. And so some areas are full service cities where they're dealing with those kind of funding infrastructure questions completely within the city. Other areas have special districts that provide services. So we would need to look at who's in charge and what, are they utility based? Are they property tax funded with more discretionary resources? But I'll look to Ted to maybe deepen that answer.
Councillor Wong, I agree with Andy's summary. The document that you noted is one that's put together by Clean Water Services to address known issues around stormwater runoff in the area. And Tigard, Washington County are both willing partners in that work, figuring out solutions to the issue.
But generally, I would say when you've got a utility base, this is my old League of Cities finance person speaking, it's much easier to identify and come up with the resources for these kinds of needs if you have a utility base. It's what we lack in the transportation system and other arenas is a use-based funding system that logically brings resources forward. So we struggle with identifying the transportation resources where it is easier, not easy, but easier to identify water, sewer, and other resources given the utility base that they have.
And it says there's going to be a stormwater study. Is that something that's going to be done as part of our conditions of approval, or is just required by state law?
Councillor Wong, this is a study that Clean Water Services undertook in the last year or so, and I believe they're wrapping it up soon. And again, it's identifying some of the stormwater and sanitary sewer challenges in the general vicinity of the proposed UGB expansion area. And again, it's something that Tigard and Washington County have been participating in, and I believe they're willing partners in implementing those recommendations out of the study.
Okay. Councillor Wong, I would just jump in to add quickly. I agree with Andy and Ted that Clean Water Services South Bull Mountain study, they expect to be adopted sometime late this spring, certainly by June. And the point of that study is to study the issues that we've heard a little bit about from Thousand Friends, for example, and Riverkeepers, because they recognize that increasing development is causing this problem in part. So once that study is in place, the result of that will be Clean Water Services adopting additional construction and design guidelines that will have to be applied by all of the cities in that jurisdiction, including the city of Tigard. So, our condition of approval that we added related to that basically requires the city to keep working with Clean Water Services on that and to comply with whatever those standards are once they're adopted. I would only just add, again, related to this meeting that I was in earlier this week, I learned from the Clean Water Services representative that the city of Tigard, the code that they adopted with regard to the existing clean water services standards is more stringent. So they adopted a code provisions related to stormwater and erosion that are more stringent than what Clean Water Services currently allows. And so we have every reason to believe that when there are new standards, those will definitely at least meet or exceed what's being required.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, if there are no further questions, I don't see any hands raised. I will now close the record. Before I call for a motion, I would like to note that Councilor Rosenthal again has indicated he will move to amend the ordinance once a motion is on the table to include the condition of approval described by staff regarding stormwater management. But first, I would like to have a motion on the ordinance number 23-1488 for the purpose of amending the urban growth boundary to include land adjacent to the city of Tigard in exchange for removing a substantial equivalent amount of land in Clackamas County. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second? It's been moved by Councillor Lewis and seconded by Councillor Rosenthal. Before we move, do we have a motion to amend? Councilor Rosenthal.
Thank you, Chair. I would move to amend Exhibit B to add a condition of approval concerning stormwater as recommended in the supplemental staff report dated January 30th, 2022. And I'll note that this was also something that was raised in some of the testimony from some of the local residents. The motion specifically is the city will continue to coordinate with Clean Water Services, CWS, regarding the South Bull Mountain Regional Stormwater and Sanitary System Study. I won't give you the acronym, all future development in River Terrace 2.0 and other parts of the city must be consistent with construction and design standards adopted by CWS in order to reduce and mitigate erosion problems caused by stormwater. End of amendment.
Thank you. Is there a second on the amendment?
I will second.
It's been moved by Councillor Rosenthal and seconded by Councillor Gonzalez. Thank you. Any discussion on the motion to amend? Seeing none, Connor, will you please call the roll on the amendment motion?
Yes, thank you, President Peterson. Councillor Nolan?
No.
Councillor Wong?
Yes.
Councillor Gonzalez?
Yes.
Councillor Rosenthal?
Yes.
Councillor Simpson?
Yes.
Councillor Lewis?
Yes.
And President Peterson?
Yes, the motion passes. Thank you. All right, we will move to discussion on the original motion to approve the ordinance as amended. Councillors, any further discussion, comments? Councillor Lewis?
Sure. Thank you so much for the opportunity to reflect just for a minute. The ordinance today is the result of about a year's worth of work, and I need to thank staff for that, not only for the process that they've gone through, for the outreach to our communities, to cities, to folks who are involved with land use decisions and how to do this for the first time in this region, though it's been done a handful of times other places. This opportunity came to us because of our mid-cycle review timeline. That timeline has us moving along now, looking at a three-year cadence instead of the traditional six-year cadence. And given the urgency of doing everything we can on housing, it is appropriate that we move forward swiftly. I was asked personally, and I believe through written communication, to slow this process down in order to have more time for Clackamas County to come up with alternatives that they would like to see. However, the punch here is that we are moving quickly and in real time to allow the next step, which is the comprehensive planning, which then enables the design and build and construction of new housing. And this is housing that is at this point much needed and will be continued to be much needed as the years go on and we get into the development phase. So it is the urgency that we are meeting the housing need, housing at all levels, and including the members of our communities who need a place to call home. So thank you to our jurisdictions who get it. Thank you particularly to Oregon City and Happy Valley, who invited me in for conversation and who legitimately had concerns and questions that we were able to meet and address, and we can move forward from their perspective. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Rosenthal.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to ask a question regarding the, and it's now, I think it would be requirement 6, which will work with the city, with Oregon City, Clackamas County, and I can't see it all on my screen, just a second. And the Oregon Department of LCDC to ensure that the removal of the two areas is reflected in future housing forecast coordination efforts. And two questions regarding that. I'm assuming that will also potentially, maybe not, but potentially involve the cities of Happy Valley and Gresham. And could you elaborate a little bit more on what that further housing coordination efforts would entail?
So this condition was put in due to a concern raised when we went to speak with Oregon City Council, and they were concerned that somehow existing and coming requirements to establish targets and achieve those targets for housing production within cities would be implicated by removing this area from the urban growth boundary. We didn't hear any similar concerns from Gresham or from Happy Valley. This is adjacent to city boundary in Oregon City. The areas in the east of Damascus are miles and miles away from those cities. Mm-hmm. We're not greatly concerned that there is an implication for their housing production strategies because the territory is not within the city currently. It's not inside the city boundary. But we wanted to develop some language that spoke to our willingness to work to make sure that they weren't in some way harmed or implicated in their housing production strategy. That's the intent of the language. I don't know if Roger or Ted has anything to add to that, but we were trying to be responsive to the City of Oregon City's request to speak to this in some fashion. Like,
Councillor Rosenthal, Andy put it well, and I think that it's useful to think about this topic in the context of our overall forecast coordination work that Metro does. We do this every 6 years as part of our growth management cycle, determining not only how much regional growth we expect, but where that growth may occur. And every time we do it, we try to reflect our best understanding of where there's capacity for growth. So this would be another example of a change in where there may be capacity for growth, much like if a city changed their zoning in a location, that would be something that we would capture in those updated forecast coordination numbers.
Thank you.
All right, to round it out, I just wanted to thank our jurisdictional partners as well, between Oregon City, Happy Valley, Clackamas, and the City of Tigard, as well as the staff again, and as well as the property owners out in unincorporated Clackamas County that we heard from. And that are part of this. As a region, we know that the only way we are going to get out of this housing crisis, and it is a crisis, it's by working together to use the tools that we have to find solutions. I know that Clackamas County had some reservations, and I respect their concerns. After talking with Chair Tootie Smith of Clackamas County Commission, we are setting up a time to talk about the future of unincorporated areas in Clackamas County within the UGB. For both meeting our regional housing needs and employment land needs. And then we can start to work jointly on a planning process with the cities of the county about the future vision for those lands that will eventually be part of the cities of Clackamas County. This is a long needed conversation after Damascus unincorporated. I want to reiterate that all planning in these areas will be inclusive to the communities, whether in unincorporated Clackamas County or as part of the cities. Everybody will be part of these discussions as we move forward, but we do need to start having those discussions. And I know that Councillor Lewis and Councillor Simpson will be interested in joining in since their districts overlap in that area. It's an important part of the future of our region. I also want to thank the mayor of Tigard for her letter this morning that arrived just before the meeting that highlights the import of this decision and the professionalism and partnership with our staff. And just to reiterate our nimbleness and open-mindedness about ways to encourage development right now within our land use system to meet the needs of everyone and working together to improve the livability and affordability of the communities we are proud to call home. So thank you all again for your work and support of this historic effort. With that, Connor, will you please call the roll?
Yes, thank you, President Peterson. Councilor Wong.
Aye.
Councilor Rosenthal.
Aye.
Councilor Lewis.
Aye.
Councilor Simpson.
Aye.
Councilor Nolan.
Yes.
Councilor Gonzalez.
Yes.
And President Peterson.
Yes, the motion passes. Thank you, everyone. Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right, we'll move on to our next ordinance, ordinance number 23-1489, for the purpose of annexing to the Metro District boundary approximately 11.17 acres located in Wilsonville at the west end of Southwest Frog Pond Lane and north of Southwest Brisbane Street. Councilors, as you recall, we had our first reading and public hearing on this item at our January 26th meeting. At that time, we received no testimony on this matter. Today, we have our Associate Regional Planner, Glenn Himberg, here to answer any additional questions that might have arisen. Councilors, questions? Seeing none, Glenn, did you have any additional information for us?
President Peterson, I don't. Thank you.
You did a great job the first time. Much appreciated. Is there a motion for ordinance number 23-1489 for the purpose of annexing to the Metro District boundary approximately 11.17 acres located in Wilsonville at the end of Southwest Frog Pond Lane and north of Southwest Brisbane Street?
I move adoption of the resolution.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved by Councilor Rosenthal and seconded by Councilor Simpson. Any further discussion on this matter? Seeing none, Connor, will you please call the roll?
Yes, thank you. Councilor Gonzalez.
Aye.
Councilor Nolan.
Yes.
Councilor Simpson.
Yes.
Councilor Lewis.
Aye.
Love it.
Councilor Rosenthal.
Yes.
Councilor Wong.
Aye.
And President Peterson.
Aye, the motion passes. Thank you, everyone, for a great meeting. We will round it out with our Chief Operating Officer Communications, Marisa. Oh, I guess Marisa's not here, Andrew Scott.
Great, Thank you, President Peterson. Yeah, Andrew Scott, Deputy Chief Operating Officer, and good morning, happy to be here today. I have some slightly wonky updates from our planning team today, and they're wonky even for me, so that's it's a pretty high bar of wonkiness, but I wanted to make sure we go through just a little bit of it today. And these are things you're going to be receiving by email. We did receive the end of calendar year urban growth boundary minor adjustment report and also the annual report on amendments to the Title IV employment and industrial areas map. These are annual reports that are required by code to be presented to council. And although for this reporting cycle, neither report contains any substantive changes or updates, and you will be receiving them by email, but I wanted to give just a super quick update on what they are for a little bit of context. So in terms of background, on the year-end UGB minor adjustment report, Metro Code requires that the Chief Operating Officer submit a report to Metro Council with an analysis of all minor adjustments that are made during the year. The report's intended to demonstrate how those adjustments, when considered cumulatively, are consistent with and help achieve the 2040 growth concept. So I'll be sending you a copy of that report, but it is quite short since there were no urban growth boundary minor adjustment petitions in 2022. On a similar note, for the Title IV amendment report, there were also no amendments made to the Title IV map in 2022, either by council or through executive order. So for a little bit more background on that, Title IV of the Urban Growth Management Functional Plan seeks to improve the region's economy by protecting a supply of sites for employment by limiting the types and scale of non-industrial uses in regionally significant industrial areas, and employment areas. Those areas are depicted on the Employment and Industrial Areas map. Title IV sets forth several avenues for amending the map, either through a Metro Council ordinance, through an executive order, depending on the circumstances.
Those amendments are typically in response to requests that are made by cities or counties when they have rezoned land to designations that would not comply with Title IV. So I wanted to bring this to your attention since you all may be aware of some city or county rezonings from industrial to other uses that did occur during 2022, but none of those rezonings were found to be in conflict with Title IV, and so that's why amendments to the Title IV map were not necessary or requested by cities or counties. And I'm hoping if you have any deep questions around what I just updated you on, feel free to give them to me and I will give them to staff to get back to you on those details. But with that, that was my report for today.
Great, thank you. We'll move on to councilor communications, but I guess I owe at least two councilors an apology for not seeing their hands raised against the background. It turns out the color of the hand raised is the same color as the wood in the background. Yeah. So
look at that. Look at my hand right there. Oh, I can't.
Yeah, I can't see it.
You should be able to change it.
So apologies for that, but much appreciated for your patience, Councilor Gonzalez.
Oh, no, I'm just now playing with the hand raise feature. Sorry, President. Councillor Simpson told me that I can change the color of the virtual hand. So that's pretty great. So I need to figure out how to do that. Never too late to learn something. It's all good. You actually ended up summing up my thoughts in your wrap up for the UGB conversation. So thank you.
Awesome. Thank you for your patience. All right. Anyone with Councilor Communications? Councilor Lewis.
Sure. Thank you so much, colleagues. Tonight is the reception and opening of our Glean art exhibit. It's at Parallax Studios and a gallery, which is on Northwest 14th. The reception, I believe, is at 4:00, but the public showing starts at 5 and goes like 5 to 7. I would encourage you all to go. 5 artists that have been partaking at a residency at Metro Central. They do their art using all found items from our transfer station. They are incredible artists. It's a very competitive juried selection. So they come to us as incredible artists, and then they just really blossom when they are able to see all of the things that they can get their hands on that get left at the transfer station that are eligible for Second Life. If you miss out on seeing the show, we have 5 pieces selected. Councilor Rosenthal and I did our selection that will be coming to MRC after the gallery exhibit closes. I encourage you all to spread the word about Glean to your constituents.
Thank you, Councilor. Councilor Rosenthal.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just want to second what Councilor Lewis said. Some of the art is really quite amazing and quite moving. So. It was really quite an experience, and I urge people and the public to show up and look at this and bear in mind that they're also available for personal purchase.
Oh.
Awesome. Thank you. Any other councilor communications? All right. With that, we are adjourned. Thank you, everyone. We'll see you back here for our next regular meeting, which is February 9th, 2023 at 10:30 a.m. Have a great day.
Cheers. Yeah, I didn't make it to dark one.